Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Eric Wetterling, founder and editor of The Hedgeless Horseman. Now, Eric, one thing that you've been touting on this show, well, actually for quite a while, is value. You say that you see a lot of value in the gold stocks. You are constantly looking for value and saying that the market is not recognizing the value that is within some of these stocks. One other thing that you and I were especially talking about off mic is margin of safety. So a company that has some underlying asset or some sort of value that you see that should protect it from, let's say, a further sell-off, or at least help the stock not go to zero in another bear market, let's say. Take us through what you value in terms of margin of safety and what you look for. What constitutes that underlying value for you?
Yeah, I think we should start just talking about, you know, what is risk? Most people, it seems, believe that risk is the, you know, risk of our stock price going down, basically. Because, I mean, I see it right now out there, people are, you know, still worried that, I don't know if I should, you know, invest in miners because we've had a downtrend since August of last year. And they basically say that their fear is that they might go lower. But that's not really risk. I mean, risk, in my opinion, is that you overpay for something that should go down and goes down and stays there, and you won't recoup your losses, basically. The paper loss will, in fact, be a permanent one. And that's very detrimental from your long-term compounding results, because you can't compound a loss. Even if you play it safe and even average 5% a year, I mean, that's going to amount to a lot of money in the long term, but permanent loss will amount to nothing. So, I mean, with enough time, depending on how good you are at compounding, at investing, I mean, that a small loss today might amount to a huge one in the long term. So I do think that margin of safety is probably the most important thing when it comes to investing. And that's basically the main weight I use when I dictate what kind of position size I'm taking, because that's one thing. I don't want to find myself going into a full-blown golden bull market. I mean, we have no idea when these paper markets might snap, for example. We have no idea, you know, if there will be a 9/11 again or stuff like that. Anything can happen, and I don't want to find myself going into a gold and silver bull and, you know, basically don't have any gold or silver. So, I mean, an optimal case for me, ones that have, you know, I can see as, you know, core holdings that I have position size larger than, say, 5%, is when I have the margin of safety. I think I'm buying what they already have done. I mean, all the time and money and risk that they've already taken, I can buy that for pennies on the dollar. Then I would like to see some probable upside, that they have a system that is, you know, wide open or whatever, and it looks likely that they will have continued success. And to top it off, I would really like to see them have high upside potential. But most investors, in my opinion, in this space, since everyone wants to get rich tomorrow at the latest, they value high potential upside first, then probable upside, and lastly, margin of safety. And as I probably told you before, I've never had a 10-bagger. But since 2016, I have 30-bagged my portfolio, which doesn't make sense to a lot of people. I think that people would be surprised to hear that, you know, I see it as I'm not taking that much risk, honestly. And in the long run, I think it will, you know, be very beneficial, since everyone is looking for the 10-bagger. I'm busy finding the ones that are cheap now that I think have a very high chance of, you know, me making a return on. So it's not really a crowded place even.
Well, fair enough. It's been a 7-month bear market, or, well, a correction, let's call it, and everything's sold off. We've talked about that a lot, is that the big miners down to the very speculative explorers have all sold down. But then in terms of the built-in value, Eric, is it having a resource? Is it having some sort of de-risk project? What constitutes value for you that builds in that downside protection?
Well, that's where it gets a bit tricky, because obviously, I mean, a company might have a resource, it might actually even have a PA, but we don't know if a project will ever get built. I mean, there are plenty of projects that have been, you know, found ages ago, and they're just, you know, basically show up at every bull market, etc. So, I mean, on surface, yes, that's margin of safety because, you know, they have gold, yada, yada, yada. But you don't know if they're actually going to monetize that. And in the meantime, it's actually a trading sardine. So it's somewhat you have to, I guess, make a prediction of what the market will see as margin of safety. And of course, there are things that could happen in terms of jurisdiction, etc. So, I mean, there are, first of all, there are no absolute guarantees in this business. That's one has to get comfortable with that. But there are, in my opinion, like cases where, okay, you know that the market pretty much will see some value in whatever project. If it has a resource, if it has just, you know, drilled a lot of ounces and inferred ounces, etc. So again, it's like, it's more of an art, in my opinion, that, okay, you know that this will resonate and be seen as something of value. And therefore, it becomes true that it is margin of safety, because in reality, we have no idea what the actual margin of safety was until later. Because if we knew a project that looks good, it's never going to get built. If we knew that, we could fast forward in time 100 years and know that it would never get built. Then, per definition, that wasn't margin of safety. But we can't know that. So we, in the meantime, we have to basically judge what we might think that the market will see as margin of safety, and that, you know, believe that it will act accordingly and act as a cushion on the downside.
So, Eric, it also comes down a lot to blue sky, right? Because you don't invest in these smaller resource stocks. And I know a lot of the companies that you're investing in for just a 20, 30% gain. You are going for multiples on your money. Does that just come down simply to drilling then in your eyes, making sure that you understand a bit about the target, a bit about the potential, and then really just hoping that the team can follow through?
I mean, yeah, pretty much. But there are, you know, different situations. It's like TriStar Gold, for example. I mean, I think that's, I mean, on paper, it's extremely cheap relative to the NPV according to their PA, and they're going towards pre-feasibility study. So I don't know if there's, you know, they could triple the resource, for example, at CDS. But I know right now that it looks extremely cheap relative to what they already have banked. So in that case, I see it as the margin of safety being so high that I actually think I don't need that much blue sky potential. But if you have a, let's say, a company like Lion One Metals, which right now what they have on paper, they're basically perhaps fairly valued based on that. So, you know, let's say you have a margin of safety ratio 1-to-1. But they have a huge caldera and there's golden smoke all over the place. They're cashed up and all of that. So I think that there's probable upside there and very high potential upside. So it's again, it's you weight some of the stuff more important than the other. But at the end of the day, no company will be exactly the same. No case will be exactly the same. And at the end of the day, it comes down to price. Because, I mean, just, you know, per definition, the cheaper something is, the less upside potential is priced in. And that means there's a lower risk of you making a mistake. And that's one reason, for example, why I have never been more diversified, because I think that especially the gold juniors and even now the silver juniors are starting to get there, that everything is so cheap that I'm finding it impossible almost that I'm making a mistake down here. So in that case, yeah, I'm happy actually to be more diversified than ever, because I don't think I'm dragging down the quality of my portfolio just for diversification's sake. I think that, you know, the 10th best pick or whatever runs pretty close from a risk-reward perspective when compared to the 20th, for example. And I've never, this is the first time I've seen something like that.
So, Eric, when it comes to portfolio, I guess, allocation, from what I know of you, or what I thought I knew, is that you were mostly focused in explorers. So more of the high risk plays, even though you can argue that there is some value underneath. But until something is in production, then it is hard to say, you know, exactly how much value is there. What is your portfolio allocation now between explorers up to any producers?
Well, first of all, the gold mining sector is extremely crap. So, I mean, when we see now, right now, for example, we see P/E ratios in the producers that are, almost unbelievably low, especially taking into account that the operating margins are almost at record highs. But at the same time, one has to remember that there's a reason why P/E ratios tend also to be quite low in the finite resource space. Because, I mean, Facebook, for example, I mean, there's no shortage of supply, if you know what I mean. But obviously, if a company has an average mine life of 10, there's no real rational reason for it to trade much higher than a P/E of 10, because it's so hard to find gold. That's why this business is one of the worst businesses around, especially when it comes to growth. I mean, none of the mature major companies, I mean, they have stopped growing, ages ago. So from that perspective, I even though they're cheap, I don't like it, because if they're not growing, you're basically decreasing value every year, because they're obviously depleting a finite resource. So in that case, in my opinion, I think that growth is the only play really you should have. And that means that I'm only looking for companies that have growth potential. I'm not looking to buy a very mature developer really with potentially 50% upside and, having my fingers crossed hoping for it to get bought out, because it might never get bought out. And they might not have any real opportunities to actually create more growth. But in the case of someone with a good growth pipeline, good management, and access to capital, even though gold would stay stagnant for 2 years, I would think that there's a good likelihood of the intrinsic value of the company having increased. And when the gold bull finally kicks off, for example, they will have built more value that then they will then have leverage to when it comes to the price of gold, basically. So I'm sticking to anything with growth potential, and for it to be a, let's say, a core holding of mine, I want to have margin of safety and probable upside as well. Because simply, again, I want to have the beta, preferably somewhat, but at the same time, I'm not even trying to guess where gold and silver go. So I'm actually really betting on the management of the companies themselves, because I mean, that's the only thing I can control. I have no idea where gold and silver is going in the short term.
Nope, fair enough. Nobody does. A lot of people try to predict it, but fact of the matter is, you do need to be more selective in terms of stocks, but it does really sound like you are focused on these explorers and ones with exploration potential, because that can add the extra torque. I do also say that, look, you can get into some majors and they can provide some nice upside with limited downside, especially where they have gone. So it is really all about portfolio allocation. Eric, we have to wrap it up here, but I'll post a link to your website, The Hedgeless Horseman, and we will chat again in the next week or two. Eric, thanks for your time, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Corey. The same.